Chapter 14. Terra, the Inquisitorial Fortress. Wienand and Rendenstein approached the main gates, striding along the center of the Sigillites' march. The time for secrecy was past. Even if their arrival was not expected, trying to gain access to the Inquisitorial Fortress by any means other than the direct one would be suicidal. What was more, Wienand was clear on the message she wanted to send. She had nothing to hide. She was not a fugitive. She, and no one else, was the Inquisitorial representative to the Senatorum, and it was in that capacity that she was here, beneath the polar ice cap, in the vast caverns that housed the concentrated might of the Inquisition. The march ran in a straight line through a cave big enough to swallow a battleship. They were too far underground for the endless cold of the surface to reach them. Even so, the air in the cavern was icy. Wienand's breath misted. The sound of her boot heels was hollow with chill. The Sigillites' march was 100 meters wide and 1,000 long. The wiring embedded in the flagstones formed a massive interlocking system of hexagramic wards. The density of the sigils was such that the path as a whole functioned as a gigantic null generator. Iron pillars rose every 10 meters, their powerful lumen globes turning the march into a shining road through darkness. There were no barriers on either side, only the shadows of the cavern. The brilliant light of the march was another primary defense. It made conventional weapons pointless. The individuals who walked the march were blind to anything beyond its edges, but eyes in the dark watched them. To travel the kilometer of the march was to be vulnerable at every level. Psychic abilities shut down, in the open, unable to see potential attacks. For Wienand, the 15-minute stroll was a declaration of faith in her position. She was announcing to the many who watched that she was confident about reaching the doors unharmed. Rendenstein walked one step behind her, arms at her side, hands open. She didn't have to be carrying a weapon to be considered a threat. She had to keep her movements as innocuous as possible. "This is difficult for you, I know," Wienand said when they were halfway along. "I don't like being neutralized. There's no way for me to protect you here. This is the one place I don't need protection." Rendenstein grunted, skeptical. "That wasn't a lie," Wienand reassured her. "If something was going to happen, it would have already." "That makes me feel so much better." "It should. It means we have arrived safely, and that there is a solid chance that the purpose of the journey will succeed." Rendenstein didn't reply. Wienand glanced over her shoulder. A bodyguard looked thoughtful. The main doors to the fortress loomed ahead. They were built into a wall that extended into the cavern's night in both directions. The doors expressed both the Inquisition's power and its secretive nature. They were massive, wrought iron in appearance, though those were plates fixed to adamantium. The rosette of the Inquisition occupied the center of the two doors, bisected by the seam between them and extended to their full 10-meter height. There was no practical reason for the doors to be so monumental, so authoritative. No one would ever see them except the Inquisitors, or those rare prisoners, as unfortunate as they were privileged, whose sight of the door was their assurance of execution once their usefulness was at an end. The Inquisitorial Fortress was a keep that not only had never been stormed, it had never been besieged, but it was prepared, and it would announce to any foe the folly of attack, and the respect that was due to the servants of the Imperium within. A lone figure waited for Wienand, standing before the base of the rosette. He was in full dress plate. His ceramite carapace armor was draped by a cloak of crimson and black. A sash of the same colors crossed his chest from left shoulder to the sheath of his sword. Gold wards marked his pauldrons and chestplate, and there were more on his plasma pistol's holster.
"Greetings, Castellan Koba," Wienand said.
"Inquisitor Wienand," he answered.
His stance, his expression, his tone, and his words were neutral. She had expected Henrik Koba to be her main obstacle. He wouldn't deny her entry, but he might have the clout to block anything she tried to accomplish. The position of Castellan was a rotating one, changing every year or upon the death of the serving Inquisitor. The office had no formal political power over other Inquisitors. Its mandate was the defense of the fortress. The administrative authority that followed from that was considerable, and so then was the indirect influence wielded by the Castellan. The yearly rotation ensure that none of the holders of the appointment had the time to establish personal dominance to any degree that couldn't be undone by the next castellan. But for that year, there was clout. Venan decided to force the issue immediately. There wasn't time for subtlety. She had heard Tull's speech during the final leg of her journey. "Are we going to be in conflict?" she asked.
"There have been serious questions raised about you."
"But no charges," she said, noting that he hadn't answered her question.
"Not yet," he admitted.
Then he said,
"Inquisitor Van der Deckart is dead. Inquisitor MacTannin has been assassinated. And there has been an attempt on Inquisitor Veritas's life."
"And on mine," she pointed out. She was startled to hear about MacTannin. She guessed Vangerich had been at work. "I make no accusations," she continued. "I have no interest in a pointless battle, and if you think I organized assassination missions while making my way here, then I must be very formidable."
"I don't think what happened was at your command," Koba said. "I do think the deaths had something to do with you."
"If they did, and I am responsible and acted in a criminal fashion, then I would have to answer for my transgressions. But I have not been charged, and I have not been stripped of my rank. Events are moving fast. We need to react to them. Or would you rather the Inquisition follow the model of the High Lords and disable itself through internal politics?"
"I'm aware of current events. Can you appreciate the reasons for Inquisitor Veritas's concerns? A wrong move now could doom the Imperium."
"Agreed. That is why I'm here. Have you examined Terra's tactical situation lately? Now, by your leave, Castellan, we will proceed. I have work to do."
"You're presuming a lot," said Koba.
But he stepped to one side. "I have to." She walked forward, Rendenstein following. The Auspex array of the doors recognized her identity and standing, and they opened before her. The Inquisitorial Fortress made use of the caverns below the polar ice cap, but it transcended them. The honor of the Inquisition demanded more than a network of underground chambers. The fortress's construction had seen the excavation of grandiose spaces, some larger than a grand cruiser. In them had risen walls and spires and turrets, and the greatest towers rose through the continental crust. From the surface, they resembled another glacier-cloaked mountain chain. Some of them did rise through hollowed-out peaks, while others were peaks in their own right. Prison and mailed fist, sanctuary and labyrinth, the fortress turned secrecy and power into the architecture of stone and metal. Beyond the doors, a vaulted corridor, short and wide, led to a great rotunda. The space was 10 levels high. Primary passageways, many of them served by light maglev transport, opened off the levels towards all the wings of the fortress. The rotunda's roof was a dome. At its center, a silver skull looked down in judgment. Its omniscience was represented in radiant lines, and the background of the dome was a picked feed of the sky above the fortress. The effect was of standing outside, beneath the void, exposed before the gaze of the Emperor. Inquisitors, serfs, and servitors moved along all the stages. More than a few of Venan's peers stopped to look over the balcony at her arrival. A few nodded. Others just moved on. There was a lot of traffic on the fifth level, heading east towards the Iron Watch. Venand heard Koba's footsteps behind her. She and Rendenstein stopped to wait. Venand gestured to the activity on the fifth level.
"I imagine I'm the cause."
Koba nodded.
"You know what has to happen now."
"I would have demanded it."
"One thing I will never question, Inquisitor Venand, is your honor."
"Thank you."
She quietened Rendenstein with a look.
"With your permission,"
Koba asked, moving their interaction to the safe ground of formality. When Venand made a slight bow, he led the way forward. Stairs spiraling up the rotunda's perimeter took them to the fifth level. From there, they travelled by maglev. The train was an open set of steel pews mounted on a simple platform. It took an hour to reach the Iron Watch, and another hour still before they stood outside the entrance to the Camera Stellata. Koba stopped, and Venand preceded him inside. The Camera Stellata was the octagon writ large, with a full complement of suppressive wards and psychic field dampeners. It was the site of great conclaves, but more than free debate took place here. Condemnation, punishment, and execution were the possible and frequent outcomes of the deliberations. The octagon's shape emphasized the equality of the participants. Its center was empty, so the focus moved from point to point with the currents of the debate. The Camera Stellata had a centre. Wienand walked along a black marble walkway and took her place where it ended, at a lectern, mounted on a circular dais. The lectern was cast in bronze. Its stand was a withered body of an enemy of the Imperium, bent beneath the weight of the accusation brought down by the winged skull that formed the lectern's top. Standing there, Wienand was orator and accused. The chamber was a great sphere. The lectern's dais was suspended in the centre of the space. It was ringed by tiers of seats mounted into the walls. Those above the lectern were reserved for the senior inquisitors. She turned to face her judges.
Good. We're all here. We know the situation. We are out of time. The High Lord's greatest folly yet is underway as we speak. Do any of us expect that venture to end in anything other than disaster?
She shook her head, establishing the question as rhetorical.
We can now count off the hours before Terra is bereft of most of its Astra Militarum defence to go along with the absence of the Navy.
She took a breath.
I have never underestimated the threat the ruinous powers present to the Imperium. I won't start now. But I also know how to recognize a danger that is immediate. Fellow Inquisitors, the Orcs are here, now. It is clear to me, as I'm sure it is to you, that we have been left with only one option as a response. I won't insult you by trying to convince you of its necessity, because there is nothing else left to do. So I am invoking that measure now, officially, before you all.
She turned around, sweeping the assembly with her gaze.
So, she said, we have work to do.
And she walked out. Rendenstein was waiting outside the entrance. Her eyebrows were up.
So that's how it's done, she said.
She had to raise her voice to be heard over the uproar that followed Venan's exit.
Authority derives a lot from perception, Wienand said. So I used it.
She headed down the passage towards the maglev transport. Her next stop was in another wing of the fortress, and many levels down. She tried not to think about how much distance the armada would have covered before she could even reach Somnum Hall.
We won't be stopped. If we are, we are. If we're not, we're already wasting time.
While they waited for the train to return to the Camera Stellata stop, Wienand thought Rendenstein looked troubled.
What is it? She asked. After you went in, the Castellan relayed some information. Something you were supposed to pass on to me?
He seemed to want me to know it. I don't think he cared what I did with the data. It's part of the latest briefing to have gone fortress-wide.
The train arrived. They boarded. They were the only passengers on this leg.
So?
Wienand asked.
Intercepts from a Black Templar action in the Ostrom system. The intelligence is sketchy, but it appears an Orc Star Fortress has attacked the system in the vicinity of the Eye of Terror.
Wienand absorbed this.
Koba believes they've opened up a second front?
Yes, that the forces of Chaos are now involved.
Well,
Wienand said.
Well.
She nodded to herself.
That will be next, then. What will be? That concern in whatever form it takes.
I see.
The train slowed as it neared a junction with another large corridor. Inquisitors waited.
They'll stop me or they won't, Wienand thought. Tell me what's bothering you,
she told Rendenstein. She wanted nothing unsaid between them if things went wrong in the next few seconds.
If the ruinous powers are part of this war,
Wienand finished the thought for her.
Is Veritas right after all?
The train came to a stop. The Inquisitors boarded. A number of them had servo skulls in attendance. These hovered low on the benches beside their controllers, recording muttered dictation as the train picked up speed again. Wienand recognized one of the new arrivals, Melisa Baldwin. Wienand had met her during a joint investigation on Antagonis. She was inflexible but fair-minded. The inflexibility meant she was a bad politician, and Wienand suspected this was why she wielded less influence than her age should have brought her. She sat in the bench ahead of Wienand and Rendenstein, then turned to appraise Wienand with a flat stare.
"Well, prodigal," she said, "you're here to stir us to desperate measures, are you?"
"I am. Are the deliberations over?"
Baldwin shook her head.
"Not formally, but there's no doubt how they'll end. The word is out. The Orcs have won you the day."
"You'll be assisting, then?"
"No. Other duties. You'll have all the help you need, I'm sure.
She began to face forward again, caught herself and said,
You'd better be right.
I am. Thenand looked at Rendenstein. The other woman was stoic in her concern.
Really?
Thenand told her. There isn't a choice.
I wouldn't question.
Yes, you would, and you do. With my thanks.
The risks.
I know them.
If this goes wrong.
I know what you're thinking. I'm not discounting Koba's information. We have to ignore it, though. It's a distraction.
I've never thought of chaos as a distraction.
It is now.